Chapter 29. Maybe being invited back to Varish Vikli's was a good sign.
You let Han leave Hosnian Prime without telling me goodbye, or even so much as hello?
Varish slipped one of her long limbs through the crook of Leia's elbow, as any hostess might. But Leia could sense the unspoken message as well as anyone else here. This person is under my protection.
For shame. I haven't seen him in ages.
Han has a race to supervise, and I have work to do here. Leia took a deep breath and smiled. So what's the occasion?
Since when have I ever needed an occasion to throw a party? The next time Han's home, I'll have one just for him. If he sticks around long enough.
Varish's loyalty had not wavered for an instant, for which Leia was deeply grateful. Tonight, however, Varish seemed intent on forcing the other populist leaders to be loyal to Leia, too. That was more than a single party could accomplish, even one of Varish's. Although no one said anything rude, and most people smiled politely or at least nodded, a cascade of whispers followed Leia through the crowd.
Can you believe? Is she really? Do you think? Who knew the truth?
She'd known it would be like this. The only way to get through it, she decided, was through a little dark humor of her own, which took the form of the long black dress she wore, cape and all. If they only wanted to see her as Vader's daughter from now on, why not look the part? Varish whispered,
"You're not going to wear that when you address the Senate, are you?"
Of course not. This stunt helped her get through the party, but it would work against the substance of her speech. Just having a bit of fun. Through the muddle of the crowd, she saw a flash of scarlet that could only be a Gadolinian robe. Ty Lynn! He might have been the only person left in the Senate she still felt confident to call out to. Sure enough, he turned and smiled at her as warmly as ever.
Princess Leia, you look...
He paused, then gave her a conspiratorial smile.
Provocative.
You know me so well.
Before the party gets too involved, a quick word, if I might.
Ty Lynn looked to Varish for permission to steal Leia away. Varish nodded and let go, loping off to offer wine to the latest arrivals. Together, Leia and Ty Lynn walked onto Varish's long terrace. Other partygoers mingled there, but fewer, meaning they had a chance to breathe. As soon as they claimed a private corner for themselves, Leia asked, "So what's this about?"
"Your upcoming speech."
"But you know what it's about."
"I don't mean the topic. I mean, why do you think Ransom Casterfo voted you in?"
Leia had tried to avoid thinking about this too much. "Your guess is as good as mine."
"You must be serious."
Few people could sound as grave as Ty Lynn Garr.
"Has it occurred to you that he might be setting you up?"
He did that well enough the first time. Ty Lynn shook his head.
"There's no telling what he might say, what further accusations he might hurl."
"Trust me, I don't have any secrets bigger than that one. I'm not sure that would even be possible." She hesitated before she added, "I think he honestly wants to hear what I'm going to say. Ransom was deeply involved in the investigation. He took risks in order to see it through. Probably he just wants to know how the story ends."
"You have more faith in his honor than I do."
"Do I?" Maybe that was true. Ransom's betrayal had flayed her to the bone, but she understood why he'd done it. She trusted her knowledge of the man.
"Attention, everyone!"
Varish called gaily, loud enough for the entire party to hear.
"As you might have guessed, I've brought you all together for a specific reason, and it's time you find out what it is."
She lifted high her glass of bubbling wine.
"I want you all to join me in a toast to Ty Lynn Garr, who will soon be declared the populist nominee for first senator."
Cheers erupted throughout the room. Ty Lynn held up his hands, both accepting and encouraging their enthusiasm. Leia applauded, even though her first reaction was shock. How could she not have known about this? Because you were off chasing Rinriven Dai on Sibensko, she reminded herself. And because you don't get invited to meetings of the Inner Circle anymore. Never in her life had political power been farther from her grasp. She'd never craved power for its own sake, but she was beginning to miss it now that it was gone. Congratulations swirled around Tai Lin for nearly an hour afterward, during which Leia endured several grueling rounds of small talk with people who didn't much want to speak with her. Once she was able to get to Tai Lin's side again, however, she whispered,
"How did you let them talk you into this?"
"They didn't. I meditated on the question and considered every facet of the arguments for and against running."
From anyone else, that would sound like pompous faux nobility. But Leia knew that if Tai Lin said so, he'd done exactly that.
"Finally, I realized that duty demanded I run."
She knew how that felt.
"You'll be able to accomplish so much.
Maybe more than I ever could have done. You're a better peacemaker than I am, Tai Lin."
He turned toward her, dark eyes bemused. "I would have thought you understood. I don't intend to accomplish anything at all."
"I don't understand."
"As I told you a few weeks ago, the very idea of having a first senator is anathema to me. That power could be corrupted far too easily. I realized that I must claim the position in order to render it irrelevant. By refusing to exercise the tyrannical authority the centrists would vest in a first senator, I will be able to maintain the liberty our worlds would otherwise have lost."
Tai Lin sighed.
"Only in this way can I keep us safe."
A group of enthusiastic Mon Calamari legislators came up to talk to Tai Lin, and Leia let him be pulled away into the crowd. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been able to hide her profound disappointment. When she'd believed she might be first senator herself, she'd hoped to use her authority to cut down on the endless subcommittees that kept bills trapped for years, to come up with a more reasonable format for their debates, maybe even to move that they design a different floor plan for the Senate chamber, because the one they had was a chaotic mess. While she hadn't wanted the government to be headed by a figure as powerful as the first senator promised to be, she had thought that some change, any change, had to be for the good. Instead, if the populists won, the political gridlock and factional fighting would continue. And if the centrists won, the results might be even darker. Again, Leia felt the approaching danger and wondered how she could be the only one who knew it. She was so deep in thought that she didn't even notice that nobody else came up to talk to her for a long time. Amid the whirl of the party, Leia stood alone, a solitary figure in black. One day later, on the floor of the Senate, she wore shining white. Nobody else present could or would remember that the dress Leia had on today was very nearly a copy of the one she'd worn at the medal ceremony after the Battle of Yavin. She had purchased it because it reminded her of that day, when victory had seemed so close and for a few hours the galaxy had made sense. Now she wore it for courage. The moderator droid finally spoke.
"The floor recognizes Senator Leia Organa."
Leia rose to her feet. The holocam droids swarmed around her like bees, their tiny lights like a cluster of stars. Her image appeared on every console and screen. She had braced herself for hisses and boos, but the room instead fell completely silent. "My fellow senators, as you will recall, I answered the request of Emissary Yendor of Ryloth to investigate the Nikto cartel leader Rinriven Dai. Although our later calls for in-depth investigations were tabled, I took it upon my own authority to look further into the matter." She did not mention Ransom Casterfo. If he wanted the credit, he should get up beside her and take the blame, too. "Each of you is now receiving an extensive data packet from my chief of staff." Leia glanced to one of the staff pools, where Greer nodded quickly, her fingers nimbly working on her data pad as consoles throughout the chamber lit up. "Reviewing it fully will take some time, But when you do so, you will see that Rinriven did indeed run an expansive criminal empire, but in the service of others who profited far more from his endeavors. Specifically, I believe that the largest part of Rinriven's profits went to a paramilitary organization known as the Amaxines. Even more important, I have acquired evidence that makes it clear the Amaxines were responsible for the bombing of the Senate building. For the first moment, the only response was silence. But then the voices rose almost instantly into a roar. The centrists and populists wanted to blame each other so much that they couldn't stand finding another culprit, Leia thought sadly. But even as some people shouted down her statement and her findings, others were scrolling through the data and seeing the wealth of evidence she'd compiled. One voice rang out above the others.
How can we be sure this evidence isn't sheer invention? Another of your lies.
Not all of this can be proved, Leia admitted. Most of the data was taken from the Amaxine warriors' secret base on Cybensko when their store of incendiary devices exploded. I will submit visual logs from both the ship we'd appropriated for the mission and my husband's racer, confirming that my escape from Cybensko and the resulting firefight with Amaxine pilots played a role in the base's destruction. However, I believe they will also confirm that the primary cause was the storage of an army's worth of bombs, thermal detonators, and other explosives.
Listen to her! Justifying murder, just like her father!
That shriek from the back benches felt like an icicle being stabbed into Leia's chest, but it was one of only many shouts. Most senators seemed determined to remain focused on the loss of their pet theories about the napkin bombing. Before the debate could spin completely off track, Leia spoke again. If you choose to believe that what I've shown you is no more than an elaborate invention, go ahead. But before you ignore the evidence, consider this. The Amaxine warriors were powerful enough to strike at this Senate. They were arming themselves for full-scale military assault. In other words, the New Republic was on the verge of being attacked by its own citizens. There are those who want the New Republic to fail and who are willing to bring it down by force if necessary. Silence had fallen again, as much encouragement as Leia could expect. We discovered the Amaxine warriors only because an independent world asked us to investigate another organization altogether. Are you willing to bet the survival of our government on the chance that they were the only paramilitary group out there? This group we stumbled across almost accidentally? I'm not. This galaxy's hard-won peace is at risk. We may only get this one warning, this one chance to take action. I implore you to study my findings carefully and with an open mind. What we've discovered should transcend petty political bickering or your personal opinion of me. Unless we want another war, and surely after the bloodshed that ended more than 20 years ago, nobody can want such a thing. We must be on guard. We must come together. We have to act. Lady Carice Sindian stared down at her screen in growing alarm. She'd known Princess Leia's investigation had cut too close, but she had underestimated just how much information had been dug up. Had there been no security on the Cybensko computer core at all? There were names, dates, amounts, accounts, at least a few layers removed from Lady Carice and her allies, but far too near to the truth for anyone's comfort.
It doesn't matter, she told herself. Nobody wants to believe Darth Vader's daughter, especially not when they'd rather blame their political enemies. She's presented far too much evidence to be quickly analyzed. Who's going to bother reading through all of this?
She took a few deep breaths. This would blow over before long. Princess Leia had nothing else to say, and soon the Senate would move on. Lady Carice knew how to start a whispering campaign, how to seed Hosnian Prime with alternative theories for the bombing, how to make sure the Amaxine warriors were framed as a lunatic fringe that should never have been taken seriously. In the end, the napkin bombing would go down as an outrage, but a mystery. Then the moderator droid said,
"The floor recognizes Senator Ransom Casterfo.
Lady Carice looked up to see that Casterfo was indeed on his feet, hands clasped behind his back. She wanted to think he would now decry Princess Leia's evidence, take back the support he had given before, and help set this right. But she also knew it was Casterfo who had cast the deciding vote to let Princess Leia speak. "My fellow senators," Casterfo began, "you will remember that I accompanied Senator Organa on her first mission to investigate Rinriven Dai. I continued working with her for some time after this, exploring the ties between his cartel and the paramilitary group known as the Amaxine Warriors. Given what I know, I am bound by honor to say that, despite what I have stated in this chamber about her honesty, on this subject, she is telling the truth."
He was siding with Princess Leia. Lady Carice couldn't fathom why Ransom Casterfo was so hell-bent on committing political suicide, but here she was, watching him do exactly that.
"In addition to the evidence already provided, I can offer visual logs from the ship I personally took to Daxam 4, the site of an Amaxine warrior base. There you will see their training facilities and some small measure of their military might. And I can personally attest that their leaders spoke openly of war, and even of their admiration for Palpatine's empire." Again, the senators began to whisper among one another, but this time they actually sounded concerned. They might not have listened to Princess Leia alone, but the weight of Casterfo's testimony gave her back some of the credibility she'd lost. Aghast, Lady Carice checked her monitors to see that Princess Leia was looking directly at Casterfo, not with gratitude, but with what looked like respect. For his part, Casterfo did something he'd never done for Lady Carice herself, despite her own royal title. He bowed his head. Anger rushed through her as she thought,
"I gave you the opportunity of a lifetime, and in return, you betrayed me."
She pushed those feelings aside as best she could. The long game they were playing couldn't be sacrificed to personal pride. Her allies had hoped to groom Ransom Casterfo as an ally, perhaps even as a convert, but he'd proved unreliable. Whatever loyalty he still had to Princess Leia was apparently indestructible, which meant that he could, in time, turn out to be a threat. They couldn't have a well-known centrist out there sowing dissension. If he couldn't help them, he would have to be pushed aside. Fortunately, Lady Carice was good at tying up loose ends.